God's people, please take the scriptures and turn in them with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 12. Deuteronomy 34, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the lands of Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there.'" So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land. And by all that mighty power and all that great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. And those are the words of the Lord. Well, Moses has finished the testimony he was to give as an instrument of the Lord, and the Lord blessed him in keeping his promise to see the promised land, yet not enter it. And Moses immediately dies and is buried. He was 120 years old when he died, and yet verse 7, it teaches us that he was in good health. Beloved, we ought to know this, the number of our days, when the number of our days is up and the service here to the Lord is done, as has been determined, you will breathe your last, whether you are in good health or not good health. Upon Moses' death, Israel mourned for 30 days. God had used him as in a mighty way among them. But God always provides another instrument, Joshua. And we see here that doctrine taught of ordination. Moses had laid his hands on him. And the response to those who are ordained for the people of God is what we see in verse 9. So the children of Israel heeded him, because God had ordained him. And then verses 10 through 12 give us an understanding of who Moses was and his character and how the Lord worked through him. All the signs and wonders he performed. You think of those, and then you go to the Gospels, especially the Gospel of John, and you see how Jesus performed similar signs, but always greater than Moses. And then he performed signs also in the Gospel of John, also performed signs that showed that he alone was not just from God, like John was, or Moses was, but that he is God. And he showed that even in one instance, and there's a couple instances where he does this, but one instance is the raising up of Lazarus from the dead that we'll hear about in the sermon this morning a little bit. But you see someone greater then Moses has come. Beloved, Hebrews 3 teaches us this, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. See, Moses was a faithful servant in God's house, it says, when it says his house. But Christ as a son over his own house. And in many other ways, Hebrews teaches us that Jesus is the greater one than Moses. And so we must follow him and heed him. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise. We are thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is greater than the angels, greater than Moses, greater than all that is talked about in Hebrews that were foreshadowing him and all the ceremonial law and the temple. And as we think of the temple, the sacrifices, the laver of washing, the altar of sacrifice, everything, Father, even the priests, the Levitical priests, the Aaronic priests, he is greater than, for he is our king priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he is a greater mediator and prophet than Moses was. And we give you praise for this, that you sent him to earth, and that he calls us now to worship himself for the glory of his name. And Father, may we give it, and may you enable us by your Holy Spirit to praise his name and proclaim his name before the nations, that many would hear and come and believe on Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven by which one may be saved. And we are thankful as our mediator that he graciously continues and lives to make intercession for us. That he pleads for us, cries out for us. Even as, again, we'll see in the sermon this morning. For he is a God who has been tempted in every way and yet without sin. He is sympathetic and he is afflicted with our affliction and rejoices with us in our gladness. We're thankful that he is a mighty Savior, powerful, who reigns over all and sustains and governs all things and all peoples and all actions. That he is our King. And we bow the knee and we worship him. And Father, we have sinned against you. We have sinned against your Son. We have sinned against the Holy Spirit. We have sinned against you, the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we plead that you would forgive us of our sins. That we have turned away from faithfulness, from following after you, just like Israel often did in the wilderness and after they entered the promised land still. And they continued to do evil in your sight. And though you sent judges to bring them out of their affliction, and you gave them rest for many years, then they just continued again practicing evil in your sight, and went back to their ways and mixing with the world and marrying with those of the world. And so they did evil on your side again. And then again they cried out to you after you brought affliction upon them. And then you sent them a judge again. And you continued that over and over and over. And they failed to learn the lesson. Father, we ask that you would work by us in your Holy Spirit to teach us the lesson. That we would turn away from the world, the flesh and the devil, the things of the world, and be that those living sacrifices holy and pleasing to you. That everything that is good and acceptable in your sight, we would strive after and live in accordance with according to your word. Humble us before your throne, for we have not loved you, and we have not loved our neighbor. Often when we think of sin, we think of those sins against our neighbor. But Father, the first and foremost, we have not loved you. We have forsaken your name. We have forsaken your worship. We have created other gods and bowed down to them. And we have not worshipped you rightly on this, the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. We have rested in the things of the world. We've rested in ourselves. We've rested in our families. We've rested in our work. We've rested in our government. But we have not rested as we ought in you. And so, Father, help us to rest in you. And in these days where there are great afflictions, lots of unknowns, where sustenance might be in question, Father, we ask that you would cause us to trust in your name and your name alone. Because you rule over all. And your Son, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords and ruler of rulers. And so may we not fret or become anxious or worry, but trust in your name. Fear your name. And we pray for our governing authorities. We ask as we come closer and closer to Romans 13 and we'll learn more about our governing authorities. Father, we ask that you would teach us how to submit to them, when we ought to submit to them, and how best to submit to them. But Father, we pray that as we have wicked rulers over us, that you would give us godly rulers, rulers who fear your name, godly men to rule this nation, which is in great darkness and has turned from you. We have, as a nation, turned from you. We've turned from your worship. We've turned from the Sabbath. We've turned from many of the commandments that you've given in your word for a nation to keep and for rulers to keep. So, Father, for the few righteous who remain, we ask that you would spare us. We don't deserve it, but we plead for your mercy. My Father, we understand that judgment has come and will come and will continue to come until this nation repents. And that begins, as we've learned in Chronicles, that begins in the church. And so make us holy as Christ is holy. And make us faithful proclaimers of the truth even before our governing authorities, calling them to account, calling them to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, the Prince of Princes. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with our congregation, that you would comfort us, uphold us, provide for us in each of our needs, provide work. We're thankful for the work you have given in the past and the work that you continue to give. For many members of this congregation, we pray that you would provide for all. And you'd help us to see needs and meet those needs where necessary. Father, we're thankful for the hospitality of the Stevenson family, that we can worship together with you, and we've been able to worship this whole time with your people before your throne and not been turned from that. We're thankful for the Shawnee congregation that they're able to worship this morning together. Pray that you would bless them and give them joy in their communion with one another. And then, Father, we ask that you would be with those congregations needing a minister, one for the people to heed as your under-shepherd. And so we pray for Denison in Columbia that you would provide men for them to be pastors and give them unity, Lord willing, in their decision. And Father, we ask that You would be with all the other churches in our denomination, our presbytery, that they would come and meet together. And they would love You and serve You and worship Your name together. Father, help us now as we continue worshiping You. Strengthen our bodies, our minds, to worship You. We are unable to do it of ourselves. Help us by Your Spirit, that we might worship with our hearts and according to Your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.